Hi everyone, welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about an intro to the levels of spirituality. Welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm your host, Ross Edwards, author, coach, and podcaster. We cover deep insights into your psychology, helping you grow in psyche and spirit. Make sure to subscribe to Deep Psychology on Spotify or Apple to stay up to date. You can also visit the website deep-psychology.com, visited by tens of thousands of people every month for lots of free resources. If you want to go deeper with this work, you might like to do coaching with me. Head to the website for more details. It's time for today's episode. So I'm really, really excited this month to be sharing with you this series on the levels of spirituality. I just think this is so powerful and so important to know about as a human being, whatever your interests are. It really just helps put spirituality into perspective, and it's something that I teach to pretty much all my students, all the coaching clients I have, all the students I have with in my classes. I teach them these levels in some form. I mean, there's many different sort of areas in which these levels show up, and spirituality is one that is really important. So before we get started, just want to say I've got episodes every Wednesday and Sunday. Wednesday's episodes are a mixture, while Sunday's are a series of episodes, and this month it's a series on the levels of spirituality. So let's talk a bit about why we're talking about these levels of spirituality. Why are we spending an entire month learning about them? So if you're not convinced, let me tell you that learning this will dramatically alter your view of religion, spirituality, science, atheism, agnosticism, human knowledge, and human culture. It's going to help you reframe all religious and spiritual expression as dependent on a series of levels, rather than just different choices people make, or different types, or different forms of spirituality. There's something a lot deeper going on here. Okay, it's not just types of people or the choices they make, you know, behind why people go to church or why they don't, why people go to yoga classes, why they don't. There's something much deeper going on. It's going to help put atheism and agnosticism into a bigger context. And this is important for all of us, whether we identify as atheist and agnostic, or one or the other, or not. Because we either love these isms or we reject them strongly. And I think that is missing the point in a certain way. They serve a purpose, and we don't have to necessarily reject it, or we don't need to become overly attached to it either. We can see it for what it is and understand where it's coming from. And this helps loosen us up from it. As I'm going to mention later on, atheism and agnosticism are belief systems in their own right. So that's one thing it'll help you do, learning about this. It'll help you see these in a new context that you probably never understood before. It will also help you have more empathy and understanding for people, countries, and groups at a different level from you. So you're going to discover your own level, your own dominant level, and you're going to start seeing these levels in people that you know, countries and groups of people, religious groups, spiritual groups, and it's going to help you understand all of that. It's going to help you understand yourself a lot more and the journey that you've been on for your entire life. So there are three levels we're going to focus on in this series. There is another one that is really important, and I'm going to have to do an episode on that at some point, because it's sort of the one that seems to be emerging at the moment. There are three levels of spirituality we're going to focus on. Those are religious spirituality, secular spirituality, and progressive spirituality. And I'm just going to do a quick overview right now of each of them, and you're going to realize that they are very, very different from one another. and you'll be able to recognize them. We all know what they are. It's just that we often don't group them together and give them names, and we don't realize that they are levels. Spoiler alert. So religious spirituality, first of all, we can think of religious spirituality as the sort of historically established forms, you know, the long-standing traditions like Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Islam, and so on. It's organized religion. It often includes fundamentalism, you know, belief in the literal truths of religious texts, for example. Theism, a lot of the theistic traditions that I've just mentioned are part of religious spirituality, and later, the later forms of spirituality up to a certain point don't tend to be very theistic. I mean, secular spirituality is not theistic at all. It's basically anti-theistic, atheistic, and progressive spirituality is sort of the same. It's traditional religion. So whenever we think of traditional religion, we're really thinking of religious spirituality. It involves a lot of rules for how to lead a moral life. It typically promises something in the afterlife. That is taken literally, like the literal afterlife. Once you end your life as a human being, your life ends as a human being, you have promises, you know, you have hell or heaven, depending on how you've behaved. So there's a lot of moral prescriptions. There's also a lot of rituals, which is a very positive aspect of traditional, of religious spirituality, you know, going to church on a Sunday, having holy days. We don't call them holy days anymore, but that was the original name. You know, ceremony, decoration and clothing and, you know, beautiful architecture and so on. This is a expression of religious spirituality. It tends to be quite one-minded, so if you come across someone who's practicing religious Christianity or religious Islam, they're probably going to be pretty against the other. So Christians are typically not, they don't typically find any truth in Islam or in Hinduism or in Judaism, and they basically think that Jews and Hindus and Muslims are deluded, and they see their own religion as the greatest one. I'm not picking on Christians. This is true of all religious spirituality. It's just what it is. It's just very one-minded. It doesn't appreciate other traditions yet. Later on, higher levels do, which is a very positive development. It's quite dogmatic. So, as I said, this ties in with fundamentalism. People who practice religious spirituality tend to take things very literally. They're quite dogmatic about it. We can't question what it says in the Bible or the Quran. This is a word of God. This is what Jesus said. It's written in Psalm 6, 41. I mean, I'm not a Bible expert. I'm just coming up with an example off the top of my head. You know, it's written in that verse of the Bible, so it's true. Or it's written in that chapter of the Quran, so it's true. You know, it's very dogmatic. There's a suspicion of science, and I'm going to say there's a suspicion from below. And what I mean is that religious spirituality came before science did in terms of human history. And so it's pre-science. And when science came along, religious spirituality put up a lot of resistance to it. A lot of the early scientists got persecuted, for example. So it's a suspicion of science from below, because it realizes that science calls into question a lot of the truths of religious spirituality. This contrasts with progressive spirituality, which we'll get to. So let's have a quick overview of secular spirituality. So this is in some ways the polar opposite of religious spirituality. In fact, you could question whether it's a form of spirituality at all. I'm going to say that it is, and I'll explain why later on, but we can think of this form of spirituality as including things like atheism, agnosticism, mainstream academia that tend to be very scientific and not interested in religion or God or spirit or anything transcendent at all tends to be anti-spiritual or a-spiritual, in that it denies all forms of spirituality, and it sort of defines itself in opposition to them. It defines itself by the fact that it rejects all of them, right? It includes things like scientism, which is basically the idea that the only truths that we can know are those that are scientifically proven. It rejects all positive truth claims. What I mean by this is it rejects things that say there is a transcendent God, there is a deeper purpose, this, you know, there is a transcendent reality, there is an ultimate reality. It defines positive truth claims, truth claims that say there is positively, you know, in a positive affirmation. It rejects them. That's why it's a-spiritual or anti-spiritual, because it's not, it often doesn't come out there and say what ultimate reality is. I mean, that isn't entirely true, but it's largely true. It bases truth on science and demonstrable fact, rather than on the holy texts and on religious leaders and the sages of the past and so on, like religious spirituality did. It's rational. It thinks about proving things objectively. It demands objective evidence. It demands measurability and so on. It can, however, have a spiritual reverence or solemnity for things like science and maths and the beauty of the cosmos and the, you know, the universe. So it's not completely kind of cold towards beauty and meaning and ultimate significance, but largely it is, and largely it rejects all of this stuff. So let's talk about progressive spirituality. Again, these are just descriptions. We're going to be doing episodes on each of these three. So let's just do a little description of progressive spirituality. So in progressive spirituality, there is a rekindling of the spiritual life. We start affirming truth again, whereas at secular spirituality, we deny truth. We deny ultimate truth. However, this is post-rational, and it's not going back to traditional or religious spirituality. It's going forward. It's based on postmodern values. It's pluralistic. It wants to integrate many different spiritual systems together. You know, it'll take a bit from the East, a bit from the West. We start doing yoga and meditation, you know, these ancient spiritual practices from the East. We start getting involved with them. It's based on postmodern values like egalitarianism, feminism, pluralism, tolerance for minority groups, and so on. One of the great expressions of progressive spirituality is non-duality, which, if you've not heard of, I'm sure we'll get to at some point. It's based on practice rather than belief. So yes, there's a rekindling of the spiritual life, but it's based on how can I practice to come to the realizations that are talked about in the traditions, rather than believing in the holy book. It's suspicious of signs from above. So religious spirituality is suspicious of signs from below, because the methods of science and the discoveries of science contradict a lot of the claims of religious spirituality. Progressive spirituality is suspicious of it in a different way. It sort of sees it as limited. It sees it as very kind of dogmatic. It sees it as being unable to explain a lot of things. So it's suspicious from above in that it sees the limitation. It doesn't see it as a threat necessarily. Progressive spirituality is extraordinarily diverse, much more so than any of the previous ones, because what I found is it can essentially include anything. Because it's pluralistic, any spiritual system, any religious system can be practiced within a progressive context, because progressive spirituality is very diverse and very pluralistic. I think what matters is the values behind it, and what I've said here about practice rather than belief, there's more openness. It's not dogmatic. It's not based on sort of the traditional institutions, the traditional, it's not embedded in them. You're not going to see a lot of progressive spirituality in churches and mosques and so on. It's more in things like centers, yoga centers, meditation centers, these kind of things. So it's radically different from traditional or religious spirituality. So now that we've done a quick overview, and I hope you're starting to get a good feel for what these different levels are, I want to talk about the levels property of them, the fact that they are levels and what that really means, okay? So first of all, these are a series of elaborations that appear chronologically in human history. So it's not just different types, they're actually elaborations of one another. And you can see this in human history. They come online sequentially in human history. So traditional or religious spirituality is millennia old. You know, if you think a lot of the holy texts started to be written literally thousands of years ago, right? Secular spirituality goes back to the Enlightenment, so sort of 17th, 18th, 19th century. And progressive spirituality first appeared in the 1960s or so on a big scale. So they appear chronologically in human history, and this is a crucial point for understanding that they are levels, not just different types. Each of them is making truth claims and defining ultimate reality, so that's why they're all forms of spirituality. And even secular spirituality does this. And there's a quote that I really like from a philosopher that I'm a fan of called Steve McIntosh. I'd really recommend his stuff. He says, quote, "Given that we still know very little about the origins of the universe and the nature of the human mind, atheists' certainty that the universe is merely physical and that nothing transcendent exists is clearly a belief system in its own right," end quote. So basically what Steve McIntosh is saying here is that atheists are still making very strong truth claims, and their truth claims are based on partial evidence, and they don't realize that we actually still know very little. We're not very sure about how the universe came about. You know, the universe, the physical universe that atheists define as being the only reality. A lot of the time, we don't actually know how that came about. And there's a lot we don't know about, you know, there's a lot that science doesn't know, there's a lot biology doesn't know, there's a lot that physics doesn't know. You know, all the rational and modern enterprises of truth don't know a lot. And so this very firm conclusion that atheists make, that there is no God and there's nothing transcendent, there's no transcendent reality, there's no ultimate reality, is a belief system. And I agree with that, and it's a more complicated way of saying that atheism and science is a belief system, and a lot of us are starting to recognize that. It's a bit of a cliche now, but it's true. These are levels in that they are levels of complexity, and they are different elaborations. Each one builds on the downsides and the limitations of the previous one. You can kind of think of them as steps or as rungs in a ladder. It's like religious spirituality gets us so far, and then we realize, oh, maybe the world is measurable and objective. So rational spirituality or modern spirituality comes online, and that's our frame for understanding everything. And then we realize the limitations of that, and we realize, oh no, there is actually a lot of truth to be found in all the spiritual systems that have appeared so far. And then progressive spirituality comes online. So there are levels of complexity. Each one, I also like to think of the Russian doll analogy. You know, the bigger Russian doll includes the little ones. The little ones don't include the big ones. But the big one requires the little one to exist, because without the little one, the little ones, there couldn't be a series of Russian dolls. There would just be a big one. And that is not a series of Russian dolls, right? They follow one another in a definite order. So basically, this is true on a cultural level and an individual level. You cannot participate as an individual in progressive spirituality without having first gone through secular spirituality, without being a bit of an atheist and a scientist for a while. You cannot do that. And it's true on a cultural level. Countries and groups cannot just be progressive, you know, do progressive spirituality until they've gone through religious spirituality, modern spirituality first. And if you look at any country that has progressive spirituality, you'll see that those earlier levels exist, and you'll see that countries that are predominantly traditional or predominantly modern in their spirituality, they cannot get further without having experience. We can't go to progressive without having experienced the earlier ones, right? So that's something that a lot of people do not understand. And it's really crucial to understand it for understanding humanity and yourself. We as individuals develop freedom sequentially. And I cannot emphasize this enough. You can literally see this in your own life. Now, a lot of us in the modern day don't really go through religious spirituality. Our religious spirituality is pretty much, you know, we're sort of obliged to go to church a few times when we're younger. We maybe get christened or baptized, but, you know, we've not really got a strong religious life. However, a lot of us are progressive. And what we have to realize is at one point we were not progressive. One point we were modern. Our spirituality was at a modern level, and we could only get to progressive by going through modern. This is something a lot of progressive spiritual people do not understand, and it is crucial to understand. We develop freedom sequentially, and you cannot just skip ahead. And finally, each of them has their own practices. So this is an interesting one, because basically, I said, you know, religious spirituality is a lot of practices, rituals, ceremony, holy days, and so on. But secular spirituality has its own practices. You know, the practice of teaching people science is a practice that comes from modern spirituality. The practice of doing science, the practice of debating, the practice of fighting against religion and fighting against spirituality and positive truth claims, for example. And then progressive spirituality, with its meditation, its yoga, its reading books about Hinduism and all the rest of it, they're all practices, they're all things that deepen our spirituality at that level. I think that's just a really funny and interesting thing to notice. And finally, just really want you to understand that these are not just choices that people make. On the surface, it just seems like, oh, people choose to be interested in yoga. People choose to be Christians. People choose to be scientific and atheistic. No, these are developmentally rich. These are evolutionary emergence. And where you are born, the time you're born in, the culture you're in, the specific life phase that you're at, all of this stuff plays a big role. And in many ways, it's beyond our choice. On the surface level, it'll seem like we're choosing, but there's something much deeper going on here. These are levels of complexity that we're developing through as individuals and on a cultural level. And so this really just changes your perspective on yourself and on others. We're not just choosing to be who we are in our spiritual lives. There is something a lot deeper going on here. So I'm going to leave it on a cliffhanger. The next three episodes, we're going to look very in great detail at each of the three levels, the traditional, the modern, and the progressive. And so you're going to get a very comprehensive understanding of these three levels. For now, though, I'm going to say goodbye. So make sure to subscribe so that you're getting notified every time I release an episode on Wednesday and Sunday. And make sure to come back Wednesday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Central European time, 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. I'm Ross. This is Deep Psychology. Thanks a lot for joining me for this episode, and I'll see you soon for the next one. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave a review and make sure to subscribe on Apple or Spotify. If you'd like to go deeper with this work, head to deep-psychology.com to do coaching with me. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you soon.